Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. This week we'll be reviewing all the action from match day 25. Although it's an unconventional podcast this week as we only have six games to review. Jan Regensburg and Greuther Fürth will be playing tomorrow night if you're listening on a Tuesday to the Wednesday night game, which was a postponement because of the coronavirus hitting, well, the mutation of the COVID-19 virus. Hitting Jan Regensburg, and then the other games with Würzburg, Heidenheim, Holstein Kiel, and Hanover all being postponed to a further date, which means we only have six games to talk about, but there was still plenty to talk about in what was a pretty interesting, shall we say, weekend of Zweite Bundesliga action. Alongside me to help discuss all the action from match day 25 is Bielefeld's own Eva Lotte Baller. Eva, how are you doing?
Relatively good, although everything that's going on right now in Germany concerning COVID is driving me crazy, literally. So, good to see that the Zweite Bundesliga has, I don't know, has some good, rather good, rather bad games provided for us this weekend. I have to say, never had had the space where only had one page of notes. Not only because it's only six games, but also we had a couple of draws that just didn't contain a lot of action. But we've seen some action in top and bottom of the table, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting sign when in six games, six of the teams recorded clean sheets. So goals were very much at a premium, but there were a couple of teams who managed to find the back of the net multiple occasions. One of those was really the top spieler, Friday night kickoff game between VfL Bochum and Hamburg. We discussed a little bit last week how important it would be for both sides. Bochum could really stretch their legs if they were to get a victory. Hamburg, if they were to win, would again put the pressure on the teams around them. And this time around, HSV got the job done with a 2-0 win. It's their first win in their last five. It's been a bit of a tricky spell for them to get victories, but well worthy of the 3 points in a very tight affair. Amadou Onana got the opening goal on 28 minutes, and then Khalid Narai just before the end of the 90. Their cause was helped when Danny Blum completely lost his mind and chopped Onana on the half-hour mark. And it just made it more difficult for Bochum, who did have their chances, but in the end, Hamburg doing enough. Eva, it was such a massive game in the context of the season. We were using this as a litmus test to really justify the credentials for Bochum's promotion. Unfortunately for them, they just weren't good enough on the night.
Yeah, well, they were just very unlucky, I have to say. I mean, they were easily the better team for me. Even when they were one man down, it looked a bit like Hamburg didn't or just expected them to park the bus. But Bochum was still very eager to score a goal, but was a bit unlucky. For example, I think Jewel as well as Holtmann or someone like that, they didn't use the chance as well or didn't end the attacks well. That Blum foul was very, very stupid at that stage, especially in midfield. Didn't really know what he was planning to do there. I did feel a small hint of flashbacks because As a Bielefeld fan, losing like this against the Northern side felt a bit too similar or familiar because I just witnessed that like a couple of days before. Well, the thing is, Bochum didn't really found their way back after Hamburg scored the first goal. Once again, Arnabella Kotchap didn't really look good in that situation. And after that, Bochum was one man down, and it's of course a bit more difficult to play like you want to play, especially with one of their key players, which Blum is. So in the end, for me, still a rather undeserved win for Hamburg, but they don't really care about how they won this, just that they won after a couple of games without winning any games. So yeah, big points for them. Unlucky defeat for Bochum.
Yeah, statistically speaking, it does suggest of a game where Borkum should have at least taken something out of the result. But typically in games of this nature with so much on the line, the kind of the art of playing perfect football gets thrown out the window, and just making, converting your chances really can make a difference in a game. And in the end, Hamburg, with the chances they had, they were able to take them, and that's really the story of the game, is that Borkum couldn't make use of some of the chances they had, and they had some good ones throughout the contest. But yeah, a big missed opportunity for the host. They still remain top, however, Kiel's game in hand, and could come into effect later on down the line. Let's move on and talk about the Monday night game, which features another team from Hamburg, St. Pauli. They hosted SC Paderborn. St. Pauli have been on an incredible run of form. In fact, if you had to go all the way back to match day 18 for the last time they were beaten, such has been the run of form they've had in 2021. But they couldn't keep it up this time. A 2-0 defeat. Paderborn getting goals from Dortmund loanee Chris Führich and captain Sebastian Schonlau. Führich's 10th goal of the campaign. Schonlau getting his first. And it's a good win for Paderborn. It's their first win since match day 22. Of course, in between there, they had a catch-up fixture against Heidenheim. And really, it was job done. Their efficiency going forward was really the difference in the game. And yeah, it moves them ahead of St. Pauli and back into the top half of the table.
Yeah, I was really impressed by Paderborn's game last night. Especially in the first half, they managed to put a lot of pressure on St. Pauli. Not only in the well, on that last start of the pitch, but also very early on. And you could see that St. Pauli had a lot of problems with that, especially with the build-up play. Yeah, Paderborn could have easily been like 2 or 3 nil up in the first half. Just ran with a very good cross to Führich. He sees, he times that cross very, very well. So Führich isn't offside. Olsson also doesn't really good against Führich in that position. And for Lorenz, it was just a very unfortunate because, yeah, w one reason was just the quality of the pitch, you could say. Yeah, and St. Pauli didn't really manage to find its way into the game. Like I think they had the first chance after 30 to 35 minutes, something like that. That was a free kick for Paccarada, who also had the most shots on goal for them, which isn't really the position you would or the player you would. Yes, yeah, say it would be the one with the most shots on target. Paderborn managed to put Burgstaller, Salazar, and Marmoush very well out of the game. And while we had the penalty situation, I don't know about you, but for me, it was not only offside, but actually too easy of a contact for me. Like the time that passes between the actual contact and the way Michel falls after that, it's a bit too much. But okay, if it's a contact, it's a contact. Would have been too harsh for me to give as a penalty anyway. And then that second goal, my first thought it's a huge goalkeeping mistake by Stojanovic, but he actually sees the ball very, very late. And then once again, that pitch doesn't look good. And because it rained so much the past couple of days, very difficult to actually get the ball. But yeah, although we have seen some comeback qualities by St. Pauli this season, they couldn't really put that on the pitch on this match day. But in the situation they are right now, it doesn't hurt them as much as it would have been like 2 or 3 months ago. So it's just a wake up call, but I think they manage.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, I think the Mikkel situation, seeing it a lot more now where the contact happens and there's the delayed reaction to then go down. Like if the contact's there, it's there. But yeah, it the almost needing to justify the means of the previous action sometimes seems a little bit too much for me. What should be spoken about, excluding that situation, was how well Paderborn defended. A lot better than they've done a lot, in a few games this season. You can even look at last week's game against Darmstadt. They were, or they were hopeless in their defensive third, but much better. They didn't ex you know they weren't exploited as often as you mentioned. Eva Zalazar, Marmoush and Burgstaller really didn't have much of an influence. I mean, Kiré was probably St. Pauli's best player going forward, but it was a really good defensive display by Paderborn. Just want a quick word on Furyk, who of course is on loan from Borussia Dortmund. No chance they're going to be able to keep him. He's had a great season for Paderborn, and I think there'll be a lot of Bundesliga clubs sort of in that lower tier echelon who'll be very keen on him. His quickness, good finishing, and just very, very good all-round player as he's shown this season. We mentioned Darmstadt just before. Let's talk about them. They hosted Erzgebirge Aue, and it was really the Suda Dursun's show. He was near on unstoppable in this game. A hat trick, it's 5 goals in his last two, and he helped Darmstadt to a 4-1 victory over Aue. As comprehensive as you like, Eva, Dursun a hat trick, Honsack getting a goal as well. And arguably one of their better perfor you know, one of their best performances in terms of not only were they so damaging going forward, but they didn't make a lot of mistakes on the way.
Yeah, you mentioned Sara Dusan actually. Fun note to that, when I started to write down my notes, I was like, good start for Dusun slash Darmstadt, because you couldn't not really yeah, it was a very good game by Dusun. I mean, it was his 150th game in the Zweite Liga, if I'm correct. And it was his fifth brace. I mean, it was a hat trick in the end, but it was actually his fifth brace this season for the first time in his career. You could say it was something like Testrud versus Joensuu in this game, because Testrud had a couple of chances as well. But where Dursun was effective, Testrud was not. I think he had two chances as well in the first half. But yeah, very dominant display by Darmstadt. I think it's exactly what they needed at this stage of the season, in the season. Although you have to say that second yellow against Samson didn't do any damage to Darmstadt. I didn't see the first foul, but when I saw the foul that led to the second yellow, I'm not sure about you, but for me, it was a bit less for yellow card for me. I mean, we've seen this, we see those kinds of fouls a couple of times each match. They don't lead to yellow cards every week, especially because of that new rule that says if you kind of intercept a counter attack, that doesn't mean necessarily that you get a yellow card anymore. So yeah, for me, it wasn't that necessary to give a second yellow here, but well, he did get it, and Auer didn't look good before that anyway, so deserved win for Darmstadt.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can th well, the only thing I can think of is he doesn't have to make the challenge in the first place, and he hadn't been particularly good. He'd come on 14 minutes into the game for Søren Gunther, picked up a yellow card pretty early on, and yeah, he really summed up their performance. That, you know, Auer pretty much checked out after an hour, and so had he. Nazarov got a goal from a penalty. But yeah, Auer were pretty terrible in this one. Good for Darmstadt though. Two wins on the bounce for them. It puts them in 12th place. They leapfrog Regensburg, who have a couple of games in hand as well. Let's take our one and only break because this is a shortened edition of the podcast. And we will start off with Nürnberg's game with Osnabrück. I do wish we had some more goals to bring to you, but unfortunately, our final group of games only wielded a pair, and they all came in this game, Nürnberg and Osnabrück at the Maxim Urlaub Stadion. Osnabrück looking to break a 9-game losing streak. Nürnberg hoping to continue their way up the table. It did end up all square, a goal apiece. Manuel Schäfer scoring just after the hour mark to give the club a 1-goal lead. And they probably should have scored a second when Philipp Kühn completely lost his marbles. But Denis Bukowski just couldn't get it on the right side of the crossbar. Osnabrück pressed hard and eventually got a goal. Mark Haider getting his first goal of the season. And as Lewis Ostrowski well and truly pointed out, his first since the 2018-19 season. It's Osnabrück's first point since match day 14 and a good positive start for new coach Markus Feldhoff. Eva, yeah, there's not a lot to say about this game. There really wasn't a lot happening. considering it's arguably one of the better of the three games, one that wielded goals. A draw seemed like a fair result, but I could make an argument that Nürnberg should have probably won this game.
Yeah, would agree with you here. I thought they looked more dangerous throughout the game, especially the left side with Handwerker, Daly, and Scheffler looked quite dangerous throughout the game. They had good shots from open play and set pieces in and outside of the box, so they actually had a range of shots from everywhere, open play, set pieces, so that was quite good actually. I mean, I do have to say that especially in the second half, the game got a bit better. The first half didn't look that good from both sides, I have to say. I mean, Nürnberg had their first shot on goal after 32 minutes in the first half. For Osnabrück, it was the eighth goal they conceded after a corner. It's a negative record in this league. And you mentioned the whole Kühn incident that could have gone wrong. I had the feeling he really wanted to prove that he belonged back in the goal. And by doing that, he nearly, yeah, was proving the opposite in some ways. He was still very good in goal in other situations, so that one situation doesn't really sum it up. Also, I didn't. You can see could see that actually the hairdressers in Germany are open again because I nearly didn't recognize Christian Santos after his haircut. I was like, who is that fella? Because he has now short hair. So that was my highlight of the week. Yeah, but in the end, although tough point for Osnabrück. They really needed that, and I think it's good for Feldhoff for his first game that he managed to pick up points.
Yeah, it should be noted his haircut does look pretty clean, shorter than compared to the long sort of luscious locks that he was sporting before. But yeah, it's a good result for Osnabrück because, you know, their run of form has been so wretched for the entirety of 2021. And they did take the chance that they got. They didn't have many. Five for the entire game. So, yeah. There's really not a whole lot to talk about. It's a good point for Osnabrück. Nürnberg at least get something out of the game, but really they should have taken all three. Let's make a move to Karlsruhe and Eintracht Braunschweig. Important game for both sides. At either end of the spectrum, this game ended goalless 0-0. It's a second consecutive 0-0 for Karlsruhe. Braunschweig, a good point for them. Talking points really in this game with goalkeepers. Marius Gersbeck, Jasmin Fezic, both very strong between the sticks for their respective sides. Eva, this would have been a game that we would have expected Karlsruhe to win. They had some really good chances in this game. But again, I think a few teams you can make the case for, they just didn't really do enough to really make themselves the team that was worthy of the win.
Well, actually, I would say that Braunschweig would have been the team that should have deserved the win in this game. I mean, it looked a bit like if they could lose it in the end because there was a penalty decision that was correctly chopped off due to, I think, offside or something like that, if I'm correct.
I think so, yeah.
G could have or should have scored. I mean, I'm not really sure how he missed that one in the second half. It wasn't a bad game to watch, and I mean that's a bit surprising if you watch if you look first of all the score sheet, second of all, but yeah, games in which Braunschweig was involved in a couple, last weeks. So actually, good game for Braunschweig. I think for them it was important to keep a clean sheet. It doesn't really help them, but on the other hand, you wouldn't really would have expected them to get a point in this game. Doesn't help either team in really pursuing their goals for the end of the season, although Karlsruhe's goal still not really a promotion, but well, the last chance to reach that. But yeah, I think the most important thing for Braunschweig was to not lose this game.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, their form over the last four has been pretty solid. Two wins and two draws. And they obviously leapfrogged last weekend Osnabrück and Sandhausen. But Osnabrück have that game in hand, the catch-up fixture. So let's look at their situation at the moment. And Braunschweig currently in 15th. 2 points above Osnabrück, 3 points behind Nürnberg, who are in 14th. But of course, they are giving away 14 extra in goal difference. It's a precarious situation. They're still very much in that relegation fight, but they are heading in the right direction. If you look at the form guides over the last five, you know, between the three bottom sides, Osnabrück, Sandhausen and Würzburg, only Sandhausen and Würzburg have won once in their last five. Of course, we know Osnabrück, you know, 9 of their last 10 games have been defeats. So they are trending in the right direction. It's just whether they can continue this as we enter the final third of the season. Our final game is Sandhausen and Fortuna Düsseldorf. This game also ended goalless. Fortuna really dominated this game. They had a ton of glorious chances. But there was one person who took it upon himself to really transform himself into a superhero, and that was Stefanos Carpino, the Greek goalkeeper on loan from Werder Bremen, who had one of those out-of-body experiences where everything that was on target was denied by the strong palms of the goalkeeper either. Capino was really the difference in this game. He had so many fantastic saves. And I will be talking off air about his unbelievable double save, the one where he makes the initial save from the corner of the 6 yard, falls to a Dusseldorf player, and he pulls off a remarkable save. He really was the difference in this game.
Yeah, that was just amazing. And while this game was actually highlighted in the Sportschau, and because I had to work before, I only saw the highlights. And I was just sitting there, I was like, how? I was quite sure that should have been a goal somehow. When I saw the first goal, I was like, oh, well, it's not good for anything. But yeah, really, really amazing work by Campino. I mean, I remember back at the beginning of the season, where they also had a very good goalkeeper, but that went all south, kind of. But they managed to get another good one in. And yeah, he is really doing a good job there. He's one of the reasons. And yeah, this game ended 0-0, which doesn't, again, to the game before, doesn't really help anyone. I have to say, I envy Uwe Rösler for his optimism in times like this, for saying after this game that the chances for Fortuna are still there, and he's still very optimistic about them reaching the kind of goal in the end. I'm not really sure that's the right answer after just not managed to get all 3 points against Sandhausen. No offense to Sandhausen, but as a Fortuna Düsseldorf, it just came down, still has apparently not called off the promotion fight. Wouldn't be the first thing I would say after that. So hats up, Uwe Rösler. Yeah, for Sandhausen, it was just important to keep a clean sheet, but everything up front, there was nothing up front. I mean, they had 4 shots on goal, 0 on target, compared to Fortuna, who had 9 shots on target, 21 shots on goal. That's wasn't good. Just say it like that. They definitely have to improve that for the next games.
Yeah, they really offered next to nothing in their final third. What was said about Capena. He was outstanding. The only thing that might have been better than his performance was the Kurbis Troikit Dusseldorf were wearing, of course, in support of the sort of the pub industry. The waiters in Dusseldorf typically wear the sky blue, and I think very nice looking kit as well. They couldn't score. They ran into a goalkeeper who was red hot. Before we go, there was some news that was announced after last week's podcast in regards to a transfer for next season. Greuther Fürth Sebastian Ernst going to Hannover 96, returning after a few seasons. I guess a quick one, either being that neither team played yet this weekend. This week. That's a pretty sensible transfer for Hanover, considering they've been known recently and they're sort of their targets to go for players that perhaps don't have the Zweite Bundesliga experience. I think this is a really good signing for them. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I would fairly agree. I was a bit surprised that I pulled that one off. For Fürth, obviously, they're not promoted, not clear which league they play in. They already lost two of the best players, with Raum going to Hoffenheim, if I'm correct. Yeah. And obviously now Ernst off to Hanover in the summer. Really good transfer. I think he is actually from, he was already at Hanover, so the Hanover fans are really that to have him back, and I think it's a really good signing for the future. Yeah,
I like it, and it's a free as well, so he out of contract at the end of the season. Very sensible signing, and one that one that will work, I think will work out for them. Their big thing for Hanover will be whether they can keep if they can keep Genki Haraguchi in the summer. He will be sought after from a lot of clubs, especially in that if he stays in Germany, he may go elsewhere. I obviously have not hidden from the fact that I would love to see him in Royal Blue when we do descend to the Zweite Bundesliga. But we probably can't afford him, to be fair, so we will see. Again, before I go, should plug my other podcast that I do. Episode one is now out of One on One with Matthew Karagic. I ventured into the world of Australian rules football from my homeland, Australia, and spoke with one of the footballers, Callum Wilkie, from the St Kilda Football Club. So retweet that again on my socials, as well as the Zweite Bundesliga podcast socials. So yeah, I mean, if you've got time for an hour of fun, it'd be awesome if you could listen to it. Again, thank you to Eva for being alongside to help me go through all the action from the Zweite Bundesliga. Have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next time.